2 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Thank you.
Thomas Thompson from the Walthy Law Firm on behalf of Mr. Amphlett. Your Honors, this is a really bad decision. It's an unfair decision. It doesn't follow the evidence, and it didn't follow the law. This is an injured work.
An aggravation of a pre-existing symptomatic condition.
Yes.
You have to demonstrate that there was an aggravation, a worsening, or an exacerbation of the pre-existing condition as a result of the industrial injury.
Under the law, I just have to show that his condition, as subsequent to the industrial injury, was in part related to the industrial injury. And that's what we did show.
Not required to show worsened or exacerbated.
That's an application to reopen. There's an objective standard and test there. We have to show that the industrial injury had an effect on him mentally.
When you look at Dennis, which I realize is a disease case, occupational disease case,
yes,
they talk about his risk being exacerbated when talking about it relating.
Accepting that, is even if you accept that as the standard, both doctors that testified in this matter said that the treatment he received after their evaluation about a year and 4 months after the industrial injury, that the psychiatric treatment he was getting was related to this injury. Now, here's the strange thing that starts in this case. He gets injured, and at some point the department's tried to make an issue, well, he was treating at that time. Yes, he was. And that goes back to the first day of torts. You take him as you find him. This is a fragile man. He then has two shoulder surgeries, and he's told after the second one, you know what, you're not going to be able to return to your employment. And his family physician, Dr. Gamrath, who's been describing medications to him, says, you know, you probably need more than I can do. And he tells the department that. The department sends him out for an exam, and he goes and sees Dr. Kahn at the request of the department. Dr. Kahn says he's got a related condition. The department enters an order saying you don't have a related condition. We go up on appeal. I call Dr. Kahn. Dr. Kahn, now remember, he's not ever seen a psychologist or had any personal treatment outside of meds from his family physician up until this point. And Dr. Kahn says, at his testimony, yes, the treatment I'm rendering to him is in part related to the industrial injury. Yes, he would have had treatment whether or not he had this injury for his pre-existing. That's no different than if a worker's on the job, he's seen a chiropractor, say, two or three times a week for an industrial problem, non-industrial. He suffers an injury on the job. After that, he's now being treated by an orthopedic surgeon. And you would allow that treatment, would you not? Because it's a physical injury. This is mental. It's a little harder to grasp, I think, for the board. And I don't think the judge followed the law. This is a remedial statute where you're supposed to liberally interpret the law in favor of the injured worker.
Part of your analysis is that there's a single reasonable view of the evidence here.
Yes.
And that is aggravation.
Absolutely. Both doctors testify to that.
Why, though, can't a fact finder look at the evidence, including their testimony, that discusses on kind of a visit-by-visit occasion what the symptoms are? And why can't the fact finder look at that and say, you know, I look at that symptom-by-symptom analysis, and I'm not convinced this really was any worse?
I don't think the fact finder can supplant their feelings for the uncontested medical evidence. And if you, in the case of Palmer, the court in 132 Washington 2nd 193 said the defense has the burden to come forward with evidence challenging the reasonableness of necessary care and treatment. They don't come forward with that.
Why isn't there evidence of symptoms, evidence that does that, could do that?
Pardon me?
Why isn't the evidence of the symptoms after the industrial injury evidence that a fact finder could look at?
Well, both doctors testified his symptoms are worse.
Not consistently. For a period of time, they're better after the industrial injury.
No, it's not after the industrial injury that counts. That's one of the things that the department's trying to mislead this court on. It's after the order is entered in 2012. He gets injured in 2010. Now, his injury does not immediately lead to a worsening of his condition. In 2010, he's treating with Gamrath. He continues with his medication. He has a surgery in 2011 It doesn't go well. He has another surgery in 2011, and at that point, he's informed he's going to be out of his profession. And at that point, the department says, hang on, your doctor's alleging this is causing some greater mental issues than you had before, and they send him to Dr. Kahn. Dr. Kahn comes back and says, yes, what has happened to him since the industrial injury up to now has led to a greater psychiatric problem. He needs treatment, and I should treat him. The department then enters his order and says, no, it's not as of the date of injury that we're claiming. You have to go to the department date of order, which is in 2012. That's the order that's up on appeal. What was his mental condition as of 2012 when the department entered that order, in part related to his industrial injury? And both doctors said yes. Now, the department says, well, he had all these other issues. And we agree he had other issues. I did not bring the perfect mental condition client into the court. We went up, we presented the evidence, we presented the doctors that the department thought was sufficient enough to retain to do the evaluation. And then they called Dr. Gramrath, the attending, and he said, no, I agree with Dr. Kahn. And the judge who heard the case at the board said, hey, it's 2-0, you lose. The board took it away because they said, well, he would have had treatment anyway. That is just a spurious argument. It has nothing to do with the facts in this case. Again, I go back to the back injury. Because you're treating with a doctor for a back injury or a back condition, and then you have an injury for which you need treatment, and the conditions combine, you're not denied treatment. And in this case, none of the doctors ever said, no, any of the treatment we rendered is not related. Both of them said all the treatment after that date of the order. Again, we're only looking as of 2012, after he's had the two surgeries, realizes 14, 15 months later his career is done, he's in his 50s, and this is just the last straw on top of his life, that he's getting mental treatment. And that's the treatment we're seeking.
What's the implication for an ultimate award?
The ultimate award would be that his mental condition was in part related by the injury, and he would get treatment until the department's ownership of whether they're at either went back to the baseline or they close it with a permanent partial disability or whatever they want to do. But it would be allowance of treatment as of the date of that order, in that the industrial injury played a part in the psychiatric condition he had at that time.
Would they eventually have to go back and have him reevaluated again and then get a doctor who would say, you know, it's true he still has this adjustment disorder, but I don't think it's related to the injury anymore.
Let's take it on a scale of 1 to 10. He was a 4 before the injury. 14 months later, he's a 6. If he ever comes back down to 4 or lower, the department's out.
May it please the court, my name is Paul Weideman, Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the Department of Labor and Industries. James Amflett's shoulder injury at work did not aggravate his pre-existing adjustment disorder.
How do we measure that? Do we look at your brief cites at page 19 that you have to show it's worsened, but I don't think there's authority cited for that.
Your Honor, there does have to be proof of worsening. You cited the case Dennis. There's also a case Jacobson, which is cited in the department's brief. It's not extensively discussed on this point, but that's a mental health condition case.
And not a reopening case.
It's not a reopening case. It's true in a reopening case that an individual has to show objective worsening from the time that the claim was closed. But in order to show an aggravation of a pre-existing condition, as was the case in Jacobson, which involved a mental health disorder of schizophrenia, there still has to be proof of worsening of the condition as a result of the industrial injury. What's very significant about this case is the specific type of psychological disorder at issue. It's not anxiety, it's not depression, it's a unique psychological disorder called adjustment disorder. And what that psychological disorder is a situation in which a person reacts to life stressors in a way that is greater than would ordinarily be expected. So the question before the trial court in this case...
This decision is unique to people who have adjustment disorder?
Well, adjustment disorder is a unique psychological disorder. And so the question before the trial court here was not whether there were symptoms of anxiety and depression after the injury, but whether the adjustment disorder itself had worsened. And adjustment disorder is about how a person reacts to life stressors. So Mr. Amphlett had to show that his adjustment disorder worsened after the injury by showing that his reactions to life stressors were worsened after the industrial injury.
Well, but this was a new life stressor.
That's correct. This was a new...
So why doesn't it follow then that if the physicians say, yeah, the ups and downs that he's having in his mood or his reaction to life is related to this stressor. It's true, it's also related to bankruptcy, divorce, various other things which we're not responsible for, but we are responsible when he has a major injury on the job that causes him, just like those other stressors did, to react and need treatment. I don't understand. I don't understand how you distinguish this from a back injury. I mean, we're trying to deal with law here that doesn't just apply to some injuries and not to others. We're trying to look for a universal rule. Now, if he'd come in and he had a bad back, and he'd had a bad back all of his life because of various life stressors, including other industrial injuries or injuries moving his furniture, you know, he would come in and he would need treatment pretty much the same as he'd always needed. He'd need to go to a chiropractor, you know, twice a month, and physical therapy twice a day, and possibly have his back operated on, and it wouldn't be any different than it was before he had the industrial injury. So why is this a different situation? Is it just because it's a mental disorder and hard to get your mind around?
No, it's and the trial court, this court does not need to establish a universal rule. The reason this case is different is because the specific disorder issue is adjustment disorder.
So special case for adjustment disorder.
Well,
other cases controlled by the law we're all familiar with and apply all the time.
No,
special rule, adjustment disorder.
No, the department's not asking for a special rule in this case. Just like the case in Jacobson where there's a pre-existing psychological disorder of schizophrenia, you have to look at whether after the industrial injury the schizophrenia worsened, the same as with adjustment disorder in this case. Has the adjustment disorder worsened? And the diagnosis of adjustment disorder for Mr. Amphlett is that he manifests his symptoms in the form of anxiety and depression. And so simply because he has anxiety and depression after a life stressor does not mean that that particular life stressor aggravated his adjustment disorder and made it worse. It's just part of his condition.
If you don't look at changes in symptoms and you don't look at changes in treatment, how do you measure whether an adjustment disorder is worsened?
You can look at changes in symptom and or treatment as to analyze that situation. That's what the trial court actually did here. It looked at the fact that his symptoms after the industrial injury were actually better. His medication decreased from 150 milligrams of Seroquel to 100 milligrams of Seroquel 2 months after the industrial injury. That continued to 6 months after the industrial injury. He was taking less medication for his symptomology, and that was the only medication that he was taking 6 months after his injury.
But then his medications do go back up.
His medications do go back up, but only to half the amount that he took before the industrial injury. So the court can look at the symptomology to determine whether if the symptoms are significantly worse, then perhaps the industrial injury did have an effect on the underlying adjustment disorder. But the adjustment disorder is about the individual's reactions to life stressors. And that's why the trial court entered a finding on that point, comparing how he reacted to life stressors before the injury and after the injury. And the trial court said the medical evidence here does not support that his reaction to life stressors deteriorated or got worse. In fact, his symptoms did appear to get better. There was medical testimony here by Dr. Gamrath that Mr. Amphlett reacted to his symptoms waxed and waned, that he had problems dealing with big changes in his life.
You seem to be relying heavily on this Jacobson case, which I'm not familiar with. Could you just talk a little bit about that case and what the
The Jacobson case was a case where there is a worker with pre-existing schizophrenia, which was debilitating, but he eventually got treatment for that, and he went to work for a company, and his job on the day of injury was to clean out a railroad car. He was cleaning out the railroad car. It had soybean oil on it. The car got very hot, and he had heat stroke. The Department of Labor and Industries accepted the claim for treatment for heat stroke, the physical condition. Then it was contended that the schizophrenia had also worsened as a result of the industrial injury. And what the evidence in that case showed was that the treatment that had previously worked for this particular patient no longer worked. The schizophrenia treatment did not work, and he could not return to gainful employment. So the situation there was one in which the industrial injury acted.
And how did the doctors testify? Did the doctors say, did you have two doctors who said, you know, it's because of the industrial injury, it's because of what happened to him in that railroad car that he can no longer respond to treatment for schizophrenia? Or did they say the opposite?
I believe there's conflicting medical testimony in that case. I don't.
Like this case, wouldn't it have to be that all of the doctors who testified said, you know, it used to be that he would respond to treatment for schizophrenia. Now he doesn't, and we think it's related to the railroad car incident.
But in this case, he was responding to the medication that was being prescribed to him after the industrial injury.
So you say, I guess. But, I mean, the doctors say that it was related. And there's no contrary evidence that it was not.
There is contrary evidence. The evidence that...
Not by a doctor, though.
There was contrary evidence by a doctor. Dr. Gamreth testified in June 2011, several months after the industrial injury, that Mr. Amflett showed excellent improvement in his mood with no significant anxiety or depression currently.
Did he ever say that he thought that, that it wasn't related to that the treatment that Mr. Amflett was receiving was unrelated to his industrial injury?
He never rendered an ultimate opinion on...
Because he did say that it was related, and you never got him to back down on that.
He did not say that treatment for adjustment disorder was related. He did not discuss adjustment disorder. He only discussed a need for treatment for mental health symptoms after the industrial injury. But that's just treating the symptoms of anxiety and depression, which is how Mr. Amflett's adjustment disorder manifests. That doesn't answer the question of whether his adjustment disorder was actually aggravated or not.
And let me ask you this question. It strikes me as odd that the department would be arguing so vigorously against compensating the worker and drawing this little box around adjustment disorder, which is what I think you are doing. Is there some broader concern here that we're unaware of? Is there a policy concern? Are you concerned that this is going to be an open-ended rule and just open the door for money for treatment that didn't used to be authorized?
No, the concern here is whether this particular worker proved his case, and substantial evidence viewed in the light most favorable to the department supports the trial court's ruling here. This is an individual who, by Dr. Gamreth's testimony, had persistent anxiety and significant depression for 5 years up until the industrial injury. By his own admission, he was under an overwhelming amount of stress up until the industrial injury. So the question is whether substantial evidence supports that after the injury, his reaction to life stressors was in any way worsened. And in fact, there was evidence that it was not, and that his symptoms improved afterwards. This court should therefore affirm.
Thank you.
This is what's driving me crazy. They keep talking about 2011. It has nothing to do with the findings in this case or the order. The order is entered as of 2012. We will agree that he may have improved from the time of his injury, but then after the two failed surgeries, that's what we're talking about. The only issue is the department order of 2012. After Dr. Kahn sees him at the department request, 2011 is not relevant, and they keep saying this, and they keep trying to sell this 2011. And speaking of the Jacobson Court case, if you go to page 15 of the department's brief, this is what they say. For purposes of coverage, it is sufficient to sustain an injury that aggravates a pre-existing infirmity, including a pre-existing mental health condition, and they cite Jacobson. That's what Jacobson stands for. That's what this case is. Longview Fiber is also cited by them. And in Longview Fiber, the court was very clear that this is a remedial statute. The intent is to allow treatment to injured workers, not to prevent it. And somehow the department keeps arguing about 2011 before their psychologist came back and said, this man's condition is worse than it was. The effects and the residuals of the injury, it's not the injury date. It's what piles on after that. If anyone here's ever been injured, it's not that date. It's when you start to realize you're not going to recover. He goes through one surgery, and it's horrible. He fights to get a second one. He gets it, and they say, well, we repaired some of the damage from the first, but you'll never work in your industry again, and then he needs more mental, and he gets the psychological. His medications increase from where they had been, and his condition is worse, and both doctors come in and say that, and you know if the department had any witness that would have said otherwise, they would have presented him when they had a chance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Henry versus Department of Labor and Industries. Henry.